see everybody. I appreciate being able to come here and being able to speak, and I always enjoy it here, and of course I like it better when Steve speaks. I seem like I learn a little bit more than me, but just appreciate the opportunity, and it's good to see everybody. We'll get started right in it. This morning when I preached, started talking about, did I miss something? Huh? Thanks a lot. Where did that come from? Now I've got to tell about it. There's a young boy at our church that, I mean, he is, never goes to sleep. They say he stays up all night, all the time, and he's just always doing something. So the new way for him to sleep is to come to church, they say, for me. About three Sundays ago, I'm out there preaching, and everybody behind in front of me is laughing about 2 to 3 rows back. And, I mean, I'm thinking, there's something wrong with me, and I don't know, you know. You just don't understand what goes through your mind, you know, when people are laughing and you don't get it. So everything's going through my mind, you know, and finally, when church's over, I just finally said, look, what the world was going on? Because you usually don't recognize it because you're usually into your study. One of the boys in the back there, his name's Hank. Not Hank Pitts, but he might do it too. But Hank was just snoring away. He wasn't sleeping. He was snoring. And so I don't think I could probably preach that message again and nobody would ever know it was, they'd think it was new. But this morning, I didn't put anybody to sleep, thank you, Miss Ruth. But if you fall asleep tonight, we're sneaking out. That's all I know. But this morning we spoke on the things of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever, you know, done a study or anything like that, but you get home and you look back over your message and there's just one thing you never noticed before, and it almost makes you mad because you want to back up and rewind and go back over it again. But there's something I noticed, and it fits perfectly what we're doing tonight, talking about the glory of the glory in the Lord, and things that bring glory. All glory goes to God if anything that's good, and so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's pray first. God, I thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Thankful that we are here as a body of believers. May we be of the same mind. May we recognize the scriptures, and as we gain knowledge and wisdom and can rejoice in the fact of knowing how these scriptures are so perfect and having the confidence of sharing the truth of your word. We know your word is power. We know that it has the power to save. And we are just rejoicing the fact of your good news of what you have done for us. I pray this morning that the words would be clear and that that I would be clear. And we give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, with all that being said, go to Galatians 5:16. Enough humor. We got to get serious. You know how I'm always serious. Galatians 5:16. And we're going to read this and then we're going to go another way, but we will come back to this. But there's some words I want you to recognize when you talk about the glory in the Lord. And I think there's some important things that the Apostle Paul brings out that you will not see in any other scriptures that is extremely important where the glory goes for the Lord, that deals with our salvation. And that's why I want to touch on this. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the word says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, stopping there real quick, I used to read this as a young person, or, well, not even that young, probably 15, 20 years ago, I would see this and I would put works into my salvation so much that as if I would not do these particular things, you always miss of the like. You miss that part where it says anything that's like this. But it's dealing with the things that we count on in our flesh and what they manifest. Because if we bring glory to ourselves in anything, even things that are good, guess what? If it's about us, it will manifest things that are such as evil as this, because it becomes, if it's about your flesh, it's about power, it's about what you've done. And I used to read this and I used to think, man, I can't inherit the kingdom of God. I would think as if religion took a toll, as if there were works that I needed to apply, or I may not have ever been saved. Or there were some that would believe that they have been saved, but yet they have pulled themselves out of that salvation. That verse can be very confusing if it's taken out of context. But the point is the things of the flesh can never inherit anything. There's nothing that we can do on our own that can ever inherit the things that Christ has already paid for on our behalf, to bring glory to Him and what He has done. And so he goes on to say in verse 22, but, changes everything, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Those that are Christ, those that are saved, okay, have these fruits. They are within us, okay? There's one thing that I notice. Today, there are many that will give you a list of what they have done. They will bring glory to everything upon themselves and how good they've been, and they'll bring more glory upon themselves than the glory of God Himself, our Creator. It's amazing how today in this world that we live, people are so consumed with how they qualify or what they have done. Even churches today, even denominations today, boast very much. I mean, look at the conferences. Just look at the TV and flip through the channels and look at the glory that they bring on all the things that are what? They're temporal. They're things that'll pass. They're things that are of the flesh. They have nothing to do to bring glory to God Almighty. And so we have to be careful, even as we teaching this ministry that we have to bring glory to God, that it's nothing that, you know, I didn't gain this knowledge by anything that I just thought of. It was something that had been written. It was the truth of the Word. It was the very words that God had spoken. And that's why a lot of people make a comment that, hey, you sure do glory in Paul an awful lot. No, well, we bring glory to God through the ministry that was given to Paul to be given to us. That gives us salvation. And that glory in God has all these qualities of everything you see that Christ has done for us. What do you see? You see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And the thing that I notice, it says here, the works of the flesh. Things that you do. It says the works of the flesh produce these things. But what did it say in verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is. It's nothing you work for. It's not like you produce these fruits. The fruit is. That's what the Spirit is. He already has those fruits. Right? That's an interesting concept, because it takes everything away from works. Because when I would read this, I used to think, well, if I do this and I don't do these awful works that we see, then it's like I've done something and brought qualifications upon myself. But the issue is, when salvation comes to me, it's the fact that the fruit of the Spirit is already manifest. It has made itself alive in me. And we need to walk that way, those things that the Spirit has produced already. Sometimes, though, what does it do? The flesh warreth against the Spirit. They are contrary one to another. I had to drive a car. I know you didn't think I was coming, but I got here. Guess what? I physically drove the car. I did things that I had to do that was of the flesh to get myself here, right? So they're contrary one to another. And so we need to be careful of those things. But today, the issue of all this is I see so many people today that are successful in that the world looks at as being successful. And what happens today is many will start glorying in themselves and what they've done. Many will even glory in themselves, and then they'll say, well, it's, you know, because of Christ. They'll just throw the Jesus card in there somewhere. They'll throw the God card in there. Like, for instance, a tornado going through a neighborhood and one house remaining, and you see that guy giving glory to God as if, you know, he has just saved them, but all the others deserved it. Isn't that sad to think that? For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Look, this world is in operation on its own. This world is going to hell. The issue is what it dwelleth in you, the glory of God. And so it's not the issue of whether money shows up in your mailbox or everybody else gets the flu and you don't, as if you could glory because of how good you've been and God is blessing you. God has already blessed us, but all our blessings are in heavenly places. We understand that. But yet, while we have that, guess what? The fruit of the Spirit, if you are saved, the fruit of the Spirit is alive in you. Because the Spirit is alive in you. And this is not the works of the flesh, as if you have to earn it. It's the fact of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is. It's there. Sometimes fruit just don't look that good on the outside, maybe. We may struggle with that some. But many will glory in themselves today. Many will act as if they have something to do with their salvation, when the salvation alone rests only in the glory of God Almighty. Amen? So, when we are saved, it is on the basis, this is what I want to look at tonight, it is on the basis of what we trust in, or what we count on, not on the basis of any works that we've done, because what do the works of the flesh produce? Awful, awful things, you know. What we couldn't do on our own behalf. We are saved on the basis of what we trust in or count on, and not what we couldn't do on our own behalf. What we couldn't even complete if we tried. We are saved on the basis of what Christ did. The glory goes to Him. It's on the basis of that He died for our sins plus nothing. It's the fact that we count on and we trust on the finished work of what Jesus Christ did. So all the glory goes to Jesus Christ. Anything other than that is not good news at all, because it's of the flesh. Unless the Spirit works within us and we see the fruits of the Spirit. Anything we do good on our own that gives God the glory, guess who it's from? It's from the Spirit that has produced these fruits. And we need to remember that, because it allows us to give the glory to God. You know, a lot of times if we can continue to recognize the only reason we have salvation is because of what Christ did, it brings enough humility on us to realize there's nothing good in us, which should cause us to rejoice that much even more. Because we could never complete what Christ did. So the glory is in the Lord. Many can't stand the thought today that they had nothing to do with their salvation except the fact of trusting in what Christ did. You know what that does? That brings glory on themselves. It takes away what the cross did, what Christ did on the cross. Tradition alone gives a list. I mean, tradition alone will tell you, well, we do this because of this, and we do this because of this. By the way, if you go back to what? It all goes all the way in times past with Israel. There were works that they had to do, right? There were works. There were conditions that had to be met. And they always followed who? Moses. And guess what? When you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see what? High priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, people that would put themselves as successors above others, right? You know what it brought glory to? Themselves. They didn't even understand what Christ was going to do. When Christ would tell them in the Scripture, and when Christ would tell them Himself what He was going to do, the Scriptures say they didn't understand. Or that God hid it from them. They didn't have a clue when it came to Paul and the message that he gave us that the glory would be to God. That's something that we need to rejoice in. Tradition gives a list. From one denomination to another, there is always a list to bring success about with your salvation. In other words, Christ plus this, plus this, plus this. Well, how are you saved? Well, I was baptized. Or, well, I went to an altar. Or, well, I asked Jesus into my heart. All these things that bring success are like you had to take part in what Christ did. When the simple fact of the matter is that Christ did it all. And you trust in that alone. And we're going to look at scriptures that show that. But it's kind of funny. It's as if today, throughout this world, religion itself has this basis as though, well, I know Christ did this, but it's as if they finished something that He started. Let me tell you, He started it and He finished it. Amen? When realizing we have done, if we can ever come to a point where we realize we have done nothing ourselves for our salvation, but the fact it counted on what Christ did. When we can come to that point, when we can come to ourselves and recognize that we were hopeless without what Christ did alone, okay? When we can understand that, we will understand the true glory of the Lord. That's when we'll understand it, when we'll realize there is nothing we could have added to, there's nothing we could have done to compete or to complete our salvation in any way. In fact, Paul says in Galatians that it's not a gospel at all, is what he talks about. This is not good news at all if you add anything to it. So we can understand the glory of the Lord. In fact, we can understand it all. This morning when we were talking about, I was talking about speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, those things when we're saved that we possess because the Holy Spirit is in us, sometimes those fruits may not seem to manifest themselves very well is what I said. And that happens because we do have to walk along in this body. And there are times where I start trusting in things of like myself instead of walking in the Spirit. And so we talked about this morning that we know as a saved individual where our stance is, where our standing is. I've heard Steve talk over and over again about our standing. But our state, the state we are in, needs to match our standing. That's important as a body of believers. But sometimes those fruits may not manifest themselves very well because we may struggle in the flesh, right? But all the same, we are saved. And those fruits themselves, when saved, are within us. We possess something that is because of the glory of God, not because of anything we've done on ourselves. I used to read that scripture and I saw, for the works of the flesh are this. And I always mentally, when it got down to the good stuff, that's what, you know, as a young person, you think, it was like I needed to produce these special works to have these fruits of the Spirit. I couldn't do it. It's the fruit of the Spirit itself has applied that in my life at salvation. So, and yet, when we realize how helpless we would be without Christ, then we will realize our salvation is because of Christ. And we'll understand we are righteous. Why? Only because of Him and not of anything of ourselves. See, the glory is in the Lord. We need to continue to be reminded that the glory is always in the Lord. And yet, we see who we are without Him. Without Christ, you know who we are. We're prideful. We are selfish. We're probably boastful. Always competing. Never caring. Consistently looking for a way to be on the top. Just look at society today. They're always looking for the better story if there's somebody that is behind a camera. If there's somebody that's in sports, they're always trying to be the best at whatever they do. They consider that success. They know they're successful if there is glory that is boasted upon them. That's what society teaches us. By the way, it's all over today in the religious system. You know what society sees? He's got a big church. you know. He speaks very well. You know, when the truth is, the Word speaks for itself. You know, Paul talks about how his words were not as smooth as others, or that his speech, you know. But the issue is, Paul shared the truth. But the world today would look at how somebody looks. They would look at the things of what? Of the flesh. And so when we see her who we are without Him, we see those other things will bring themselves up. When we recognize how this world will be without Him, then we can understand who He is. And the glory is always to go to God. Even the good we have today, even the good that we do have, is His glory. It's from Him. Notice what the Scriptures say. In Galatians 5:19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifested." Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is." It's already there. One is what we do without Christ. The other is what already exists when you are in Christ. Those who are saved have the ability to show this fruit of the Spirit. Think about it. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." See, when we are humble enough to recognize what Christ has done on our behalf, what do we recognize about our own salvation? You know, when I look at my life that was away from Christ to my life now, when I recognize my salvation, when I recognize what Christ has done on my behalf, do you know what I see? I see exactly what the fruit of the Spirit was. I see love. That's Christ. I see joy. That's Christ. I see peace. I see long-suffering. I see gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. I see temperance. All these things that He bestowed upon me when I trusted in what He did. I mean, I know some of y'all, He had to have long-suffering. Just a little joke there. I looked right at you, Ruth. I'm kidding. All of these He possessed to save us. All of these. Think of who you were without Him. So you know what we see? We see the glory of the Lord in that verse alone. Not anything of ourselves. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 29. 1 Corinthians 1:29. I don't know why, Mark, but you text me and said, "Where are you at?" It's come across like 20 times now. I think, who is this? It must be an emergency. And it's Mark Payton says, "Where are you at?" I'm right here, okay?
You weren't at 559.
All right. 1 Corinthians 1:29. Notice what Paul says. "That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So the issue is the fact that who we are, we have nothing to boast about because of our salvation. We rejoice over our salvation. But we glory in what Christ did on our behalf. And that's what Paul says. He says, "No flesh should ever glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ." Because of Him, because of His faithfulness, are ye in Christ. He says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, before we go any further, we see where we're at. We see that the glory and anything that is great belongs to God. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is because of the Holy Spirit in us and nothing of ourselves. The one thing that we need to remember, when we compare these scriptures that we're looking at, compared to times past, which would be before the Apostle Paul was saved, you will see a different lifestyle even. And that's why it's so important when we need sound doctrine, it's important that we rightly divide these scriptures, because you won't see these things spoken of before Paul. So somewhere along the line, you have to divide the line to see what fits with our doctrine, because you can't put all the scripture together.